Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Red Light Podcast, recording number 71, Sensitivity Spirit. And we are reviewing Zenitsu Kakai Fao Super Kawaida Kawasugi. Not Super Kawaida, but Super Kawasugi. The Kukuri-san. Joining me is our cameraman, Doc Chaotic.
Yep.
And our Ichikawa group, Spice Tiefling.
Hiya, Girl Friday reporting.
All right. We start off this new life in a new recording studio, and we are looking into two girls who decide to screw around with Kukuri-san, a fox demon who will grant your every wish through Japanese Ouija. Ladies and gentlemen, your first thoughts.
Okay, so not an unfamiliar concept to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is essentially the Japanese take on the Torii Gate, the Ouija board.
Yes.
So this is a school game, oracle game you can play, which we here would not recommend under any circumstances.
Don't do it.
We don't play with Ouija. We don't play with any kind of divination if we can. This is something that, much like Ouija in the West, has caused hysterical panics to occur. So just some little historical context behind this, where it is psychosomatic. Even if you don't believe in spirits, you're going to, you know, mind fuck yourself slightly.
Oh, yeah.
But if you do believe in spirits and the supernatural, you're still evoking a powerful deity, which is usually considered to be a fox spirit, to answer you questions. So it starts off by creating a board out of paper. At the top is the Torii Gates, the words yes, no. So they're cribbing off the Ouija board that we have here in the West.
Mm-hmm.
You have the kanji characters to spell out the words. You know, it starts with asking this, you know, you have the, I think it's the 10 sen.
The 10 yen.
It's the 10 yen, which ten yen of piece. Course does have the Torii Gate on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's done by three participants, fingers on your coin, which is, serves as your planchette.
It has to be three.
It's got to be three, which three is a lucky number.
Mm-hmm.
Candles, I think, are optional. I'm not 100% sure on that one. But essentially, everything on the paper should be written in red.
Mm-hmm.
And you start on the Torii Gate. You ask Kukuri-san, as you want to be... the rules are you should be extremely respectful. You should ask for Kukuri-san's permission to play. You want to make sure that he's there. Mm-hmm. There's a little rhyme you can sing. And you're going to ask them to politely answer your questions. At the end, you want to, of course, like as you would do in Ouija, you thank them for playing, and you have to ask for permission to leave. And that ends by going to the Torii Gate.
Yes.
And then you must tear up your board or the paper. And then within 3 days, you have to spend the coin. Violation of any of these rules, if you take your finger off the coin, you can be cursed. Any violation of these rules will get you cursed by a powerful spirit. So not something to be taken lightly. It's been banned in most Japanese schools because of the panic that has been brought around, so it is not something to be playing around in. So if you watch anime where this does occur, it's usually done after hours or, you know, in the supernatural club when the people are not watching.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a phenomenon. You know, much like what was the South American trend with the pencils?
Yes.
For divination?
Yeah, it's sort of almost like water dowsing.
Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have a lot of divination games in the West as well. So, Ouija being the most popular and what? Produced by Parker Brothers? Is that
Yeah,
right?
because the
Yeah.
official because the official branded Ouija
Ouija
board
board yeah
is Parker Brothers.
is Parker Brothers, yes.
If you see like generic like Ouija boards, it's usually they usually call them spirit boards.
Spirits boards,
Or
yes.
even bespoke ones that you can get on Etsy are more bespoke. But I mean, still same rule. Our rule
Yeah.
is you don't
Don't
destroy
destroy
the
them.
Ouija board. You don't play in cemeteries. You have to keep your hands on the planchette. You have to ask permission to begin, permission to end.
And you must
And
have
the
a
problem with,
professional.
yes, you have to treat it seriously. You cannot disrespect the spirits. The problem with the Ouija or anything you're doing with divination is you're not certain who and or what is answering you, which leaves you open spiritually to being fucked over by demons, adverse spirits. If you want to see a good example of this, Ouija 2 is good. If you want to, of course, the classic The Exorcist, the inciting act is Reagan finding the Ouija board and
Yes.
Dr. Captain Howdy. There's also, what is it, the scariest movie, quote unquote, came out of South America, no, Spanish cinema? It was the girl's name. It was based off a case. Not Rebecca. Toot. It was a couple years ago. It was showing on, like, I think Shudder. And the spin-off was, what is it? Sister Death?
Sister Death, yeah.
Yeah. So there is a long tradition of fuck around and find
Find out
out
what we just, yes.
with these things. And most recently, with a lesser extension, would be Talk to Me, using the hand as a conduit.
Yes,
Yeah, the
the hand of glory.
similar idea, but that's the hand of glory and not the Ouija board.
Which,
Yeah.
in my, this is my wheelhouse, is used wrong. The hand of glory is
Does it sound
meant to be
more of
a,
a medium?
no, it's meant to be
Well, I
a,
know the hand of glory is traditionally something different.
yes, but this one is more used in divination. And using dead body parts in divination, no matter what culture you are, big no-no.
No, because that's necromancy.
Yes.
That's a you don't fuck with the dead.
That's not even an amateur issue. You need a professional.
And well, it's like playing Ouija in the graveyard.
Graveyard,
You
yes.
never do any Ouija or any seance in an activity where someone has died
Right.
or where the dead are buried because you're attracting unwanted attention, emotion, energy is what they would say. Yeah, and what they do with that hand. Yeah, I'm not surprised things happened the way they did in that movie. But we won't spoil it for you.
Yes. But in
So,
this
yes.
context, we have three
Hand of Glory.
girls that the Hand of Glory.
Oh, did you want to talk about the Hand of Glory
Oh,
a
the
little
Hand
bit?
of Glory originally is meant to be a smoke screen and a supernatural soap. How do I explain it? It's
A
meant,
tool?
it's a tool, usually by thieves, to disguise them, to cloak themselves or from presences. So what it
It's a
is
dead hand
well, it's a hand of a
covered in
criminal
wax
covered in wax, and
with
you've
wicks on the
with
fingers.
wicks on the fingers, yes. You light that up, and what it is supposed to do is it's supposed to keep you invisible, keep you silent, and hide your presence for as much time as that thing is lit up.
It was a deterrent originally, yeah,
Yes.
but it was made into a conduit. It was made into a conduit or taught to me. I think thing is, I don't think specifically they call it a hand of glory. I think they call it something else.
Like a
I think it's
focal
a
or a
hand of glory
fetish.
is more for witchcraft. I
Yeah,
think it's something
I read it
slightly
like
different.
Yeah, I know it's handshake, but I don't remember what it's specifically called. I don't think they call it a hand of glory, though.
Yeah, talk to me, it's more of a focal or a fetish.
Okay, yeah. So hand of glory is a dried pickle hand of a hangman.
Mm-hmm.
As being the left hand, which is considered sinister, of a person was hanged for murderer that did the deed. It's made from the fat, which, I mean, that makes sense.
It's made out of fat of the dead.
Corpse from the same malefactor of those who died on the gallows.
Yes.
When lit, placed in the candlestick, hand of glory rendered motionless all persons for whom it was present.
That's one function. It's a paralysis for others. It creates a paralysis.
Yeah, there's a couple different rules with this, but I mean, essentially, it's witchcraft.
Yes.
There's ways apparently you can shield a house from the effects of the hands of glory, which it was saying if you rub the threshold or other parts of the house in which a thief could enter with an undulant composed of the gall of a black cat. The fat of a white hen and the blood of a screech owl. The substance of the compound must be made during the dog days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, by the way,
before we go back to what we were talking about, fun fact that you can, at a certain point, you could buy the hand from Takumi straight from 824, and it's an incense burner, a ceramic incense burner.
Enjoy. Okay.
I think I might be a little freaked out to have that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just, no. And by the way,
no.
They don't specific. It's not specifically said to be called the Hand of Glory. Most of them are just calling it the Party Hand.
Yeah.
That makes it sound or even just worse. Creepy.
It well, does kind of, especially with the way the hand looks. It's like
consider it's like a taxidermied hand with all the names on it. It seems like whatever was previously has been disrespected into irrelevancy, which kind of feeds into the overall story there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, no, by the way, one more thing. Apparently, the hand is a thing that was made for the movie. It was not made. It's not a specific thing.
Oh, no, I don't think it's original. It's originally a focal or a fetish. It was made for the movie, of course. But it's portrayed as a focal or fetish. See, kids, you learn like supernatural stuff.
Conduit for a medium.
Yes.
Yes, this is why it's good to come talk to us.
But not that way.
Although we are not practitioners of the supernatural. So, yeah, take our stuff with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do your own research.
So, facts. Please proceed with caution. If we urge you not to do something, please take it as a consideration of,
Also, when we say do your own research, get legitimate sources, not just assholes on Twitter.
Yes.
Please, for the love of God. Just don't ask your friends.
Yes.
Don't. Just talk to people that are practitioners if you like, but find out there's always a good and a bad anytime you do some of this stuff. So there is consequences to playing around with the supernatural, which we I really encourage you not to fuck around with, because it is fuck around and find out time.
It is.
Which, speaking of fucking around and finding out, we go back to our wonderful film. Yes. We are now in a rebooted universe where Kudo seems a little bit more polite as he's benefited from growing up with his family as they didn't participate. We have Ishikawa. More subdued, more prim, proper, rocking the bangs. And we have our intrepid cameraman behind the scenes again in an office. But it seems like the show has hit something of a slump.
Yes.
Now, the titles from before are still there. So they did still have Kuchisake Onna.
Mm-hmm.
They still had the Kappas. They still had different. The same things that we saw before, but perhaps we're not 100% sure, and this is pure speculation on our part, they may have gone differently.
Yes.
Because we see Kappa Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
Well, Kappa Repellent.
One more side tangent on the Kappa. Apparently, with the kappa, if you treat them like kami or with respect, you know, they'll tend to be good to you. If, however, you would like a little more out of a kappa, which be careful on this one, if you can get them to bow their head and tip their bowl, if you bow to a kappa, they are all about politeness. They will bow back, and that will cause the sacred water in the bowl in their head to empty out, which will leave them in a weakened state. Now, you do have an amoral option here. If you refill it, you know, it will serve you loyally into eternity. Another way is to, you know, if it, in its weakened state, you could also rip off its arm, which it will give you gifts and, you know, until you give its arm back. I mean, then you just have a pissed off kappa. So maybe don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can also have the bowl tip out by, apparently kappas are really, really love sumo wrestling. So if you challenge them to a sumo match, which we don't recommend, as kappa are fast and stronger than a man.
Yes.
You could get them to tip the water out. And then they're in a weakened state, then you have that option. But kappa seems kind of vengeful, so maybe don't do those things.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, if you run into a kappa and you want to get rid of them, you could fart in its face and that should do it. I don't know why this seems to be a trend in Japanese yokai, but just a fun thing. The more you know.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
But we have a speculation that, and we would love to hear from shared Discord or from anybody else who has watched the series, what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Did the events of the shows go differently? Did we have still more people who died, or did they go pretty much the same as we saw? We would like to know your input on this.
Yes.
As it's been something of a debate amongst us three. It seems like the team's DVDs in this timeline are not selling as well. They're in something of a slump. So Kudo has decided to add Supa as showing his commitment to go 150% in on this and, you know, go for broke, so to speak.
It's sort of like the same way, like, other companies would, like, rename their packages just to, like, get more excitement behind them.
Yeah. He does seem to have a fan base following now, so that's much to his credit. And so the first tip that comes in that they've accepted is from two girls.
Mm-hmm.
They decide to go back into their old middle school. And this is 3 years after playing Kokori-san.
Yes.
Game. In which the girls wish to pass their exams. Now, the problem is only two girls appeared. It was supposed to be three of them, but the one girl blew them off to have a date at a karaoke bar with her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So, already there is an issue.
Yes.
One, they have to break and enter in their old high school, in their old middle school, which they're able to do easy enough, which is already a little alarming. But they set it up. They decide, okay, much like they promised Kokori-san, they would meet 3 years after doing the, let's just call it a seance.
The seance, yeah. That's
what after it performing the ritual, it is a seance. So they light the white candles. They have the board out, you know. The first thing when they do this is, you know, they say, oh, thank you for granting our wishes, you know, and Kokori-san's first one is to say, you know, yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm the same spirit you talked to before, but goes immediately to three,
mm-hmm.
calling them out to say, your friend isn't here. This is shows the spirit great disrespect. So already, you know, they're in trouble. When they asked for forgiveness, their friend couldn't make it due to extenuating circumstances. the spirit's not having this bullshit. Mm-hmm. And essentially says, you know, kill. So this freaks the girls out, but they're trying not to take their fingers off the coin. But then the desk starts shaking and it shoots up into the air. One runs for the, they start running for the door as, you know, all hell breaks loose. And one girl gets yeeted up into the air. She falls backwards. And then there's a giant fox spirit looming over that possesses her, causing her to scream and try and attack her friend. She was able to snap her friend out of it. Mm-hmm. But now the understanding is both girls have been cursed. But they also do, in the beginning of the video, a little bit of a, just a fun aside. They do a little, little fangirling over Kudo.
Kudo, yes.
So, yeah, I can imagine Shikawa's face is like, of course you would have picked this one. Like, because, you know, it's Kudo, still Kudo. Doesn't matter what iteration he is all about, you know.
It's all about
putting his best. Yeah. And showing his fans, if you turn it in, yeah, I will come and talk to you. I will help you out. Mm-hmm. So the understanding is these two girls are cursed, which, running theme.
One lost
so
dog.
They agree.
One sleepwalking. Mm-hmm. One lost their dog.
One's dog has ripped its, has bitten its collar off and disappeared, which the police say, oh, you know, that's probably what happened. Now, if you're a dog owner, the likelihood of your dog chewing its collar off and their blood being about is not a good sign, and probably not a sign your dog has just ran away. Mm-hmm. I would think foul play in that instance. But it shows you the police are not going to help them with these things. The girl never had sleepwalking incidents before. One girl seemed to get it really worse than the other.
Right.
One just has sleepwalking. The other one, she almost falls. She falls into like a state where a lost memory state where she almost passes out and gets hit by a train on the edge of the tracks.
Not this time, Train-kun.
Yeah, not this time, Train-kun. So, you know, they're in mortal peril for their lives. So they reach out, send the tape in. You know, Kudo meets with the girls at the school, and yeah, he agrees, okay, we're gonna break and enter again. Mm-hmm. So this brought up another question about Kudo is gang is kind of filming a whole bunch of crimes.
Yes.
And selling it on DVD.
Yes.
How have they not been pulled in and convicted for anything?
Yeah.
Knowing that, you know, when charged, there is a 98% conviction rating in the Japanese criminal justice system. I mean, you're practically gift wrapping your evidence to the police.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our guess is Ishikawa might have some background in law, or maybe they have a lawyer on the side. Who right. knows?
Or they do.
But either way, not advisable.
Or they do get permission and it just makes it look too dramatic.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Some of it could be potentially staged. We're not 100% sure. Again, if you have any more insights, please feel free to share them with us on our Twitter or share them with us on Twitch when we stream. We would love to hear from you.
Yes.
So Kudo talks to the girls, listens to their situations. He decides, all right, let's go back in the classroom. Let's see if we can fix this. But he's kind of pissed off, and rightfully so, that the other girl kind of has put her friends in danger by not showing up. Which, I mean, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
Now, this...
The girl asked for something and didn't,
right, didn't show up. Now, this is interesting.
Which was the agreement.
Doc, has there any been any instance of Kudo actually, you know, getting upset because someone decided to shirk off responsibility in helping other people?
No.
Not that I know. Not that I remember. No.
So
this is character growth.
Yeah, this is a better iteration of Kudo.
Yeah, and I will give it that. That is a very subtle but definitely good way to show that this is, in fact, a different timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, whether he's still a degenerate gambler, we don't know. We don't probably know. Not.
We think he probably lost that, but he gained a sense of responsibility.
As he was raised with his parents, yeah. By his parents, so.
Yeah.
Which may be wrong-headed sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
As we've seen him going after Anna the Third, who is supposed to be visiting Kokori-san at a karaoke bar. With a bat.
Well, we missed the... We missed one big thing.
What's that?
The first attempt at the seance.
Oh, yes.
Without Anna.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. The board's still there. They can see the desk. When let's go back a little bit. They do replay the footage so you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
The desk starts to shake. It gets thrown, propelled up in the air, as does one of the girls when they try to make an escape. And you can clearly see a fox spirit, or what they say is a lesser spirit,
mm-hmm.
possess the girl, because it does appear above her before she gets possessed. So they go back to the school, the room, the board's still there. You know, somehow the desk has been righted already.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that happened. Since they have flashlights, they decide not to light the candles. You know, I think somebody pointed out that they need three people to play, but they decided just to play with the two.
Mm-hmm.
And they're asking, you know, you should ask Kokori-san for forgiveness. Which, I mean, that's not a bad way to go about it. First, I don't think it's going to, you know, because they also made the mistake when they originally were talking to Kokori-san with the original seance to say, I studied really hard. Kokori-san wasn't the reason I got into the school I got into, which, I mean, that just made Kokori-san blow its top.
Yeah.
Because that was a direct slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Because you should never disrespect it for the gift it gave you.
Right.
And you made a contract which you didn't fulfill. So you're already coming to the table like a beggar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're asking for forgiveness and it's like, die. Which was its exact words.
Right.
So this time, pretty much the same thing happens. Kokori-san is not amused because they're still missing the third person.
Mm-hmm.
Did Kudo have the bat at that point? I think he did.
I don't think he had the bat yet.
No, he didn't have the bat.
Or he had the bat, he just...
Yeah, we started
to feel he needed to use it yet.
It was full of his key.
His fighting spirit, his key.
His fighting spirit.
So we haven't lost his buttheadedness into tackling issues.
No, he will brute force his way through most things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ishikawa is obviously concerned. Shit goes sideways. The whole gang is forced to run.
Yes.
So they realize, yeah, we have to get Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Without Anna, this is not going to work. So, they go and find Anna at the karaoke bar where she's been sitting with her boyfriend and more or less kick down the door.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they go in police style.
Yeah. They first ask her, you know, politely, will she come? And the girls explain what peril they're in. And, you know, Anna kind of blows them off. Anna's boyfriend there, the little pipsqueak, tries to stand up and act all big in front of Kudo. Goes about as well.
Go ahead, Dad.
No, the big thing with me is that it's the same problem I have every time in like action movies where you have some dude trying to square up to the main star. It's like, I don't care how big your balls are or how drunk you are, there is no way in God's green earth you can act tough next to Michael Jai White, for fuck's sake.
Right. Like,
not even just Michael Jai White. A man that looks like Michael Jai White.
A guy whose name is Michael.
No, you know which movie.
Yeah, yeah.
No, the movie where he... What's that? Which one is that? Is that the first one where he practices kung fu and then an MMA guy tries to challenge him and he ends up getting his ass kicked?
Yeah. Oh, shoot. What was that? I can't
remember. You know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's Starlight. New season coming soon.
We're probably going to have to do that later.
Yes.
Wait, not another
coming soon.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's that one and the one where you have a bunch of methods trying to attack Jason Statham. It's like, it's Jason fucking Statham. What's your plan here?
Well, it's like anytime you're watching things like, all right, the original Old Boy. Like, when you see he gets out of the room for the first time and the swarm of gang members come around him, you're like, this is not going to go well for you. And that one long shot.
The hall fight, yeah.
The hall fight. The hall fight is fucking epic. Yeah, I mean, the main character always has plot armor.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, also, it's Kudo. Kudo is an older man. And
he seems this wiser little
pipsqueak
now.
Is like a... He's a teenager
mm-hmm.
who's trying to stand up for his girlfriend, and he just proceeds to beat the crap out of him.
Yes.
Ishikawa is, like, screaming, stop it. You know, this is not appropriate. Stop, Kudo. So, Kudo still hasn't lost his, instead of knocking on a door, let's just batter and ram it down.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So the kid's thoroughly humiliated and, you know, he's ready to, you know, tear the girl out of there to get her dough, but you know, they're able to convince him to, like, just let the girl speak and tell her what's really going on, that they really need her
mm-hmm.
to come back as they're kind of in mortal danger. So... The girl more or less kind of agrees. She seems to be running. I like her. She runs kind of contrary. She definitely can give Kudo a run for his money. She's a bit of a smart ass.
Mm-hmm.
So they head back to the schoolhouse. And something we learn is that a lot of people would go to this girl, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Because her family is known to be good fortune tellers.
Yes.
As their family has been reported to be possessed by a fox spirit. Which, okay. So that can be a good or a bad thing. But her mischievous nature, her contrary nature, her ability just to push Kudo's buttons tends to make a little more sense in retrospect. Which, it was really funny watching Kudo get starting to get frustrated at this girl who's mm-hmm. being really disrespectful to him.
Right.
And she's being so flippant about everything, like, okay, let's go.
Fine, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Just, all right, so they break back into the school. They go up. Yeah, there's three of them around it. And, like, okay, we got all the three. We should be ready. Everybody's got to take it seriously. The girl kind of gives him some snarky answer. He's got the baseball bat this time.
Oh, but he has a secret weapon, too.
Oh, yeah. So there's also something else we missed. When they were originally going, the gang was originally going to the school before they met up with the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Kudo was eating ramen with garlic.
Garlic gyoza.
And it's
and then garlic
gyoza. Ramen and garlic gyoza. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was stinky to the point where, you know, Ishikawa, you know, I think it was the camera wanted to open a window and she's like, no, it's too cold. And like, it really reeks. She really thought, should have thought about this before you went on the recording.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have Chekhov's gun.
Yes.
Coming in.
Yes, Kudo stinking of garlic.
Reeking horribly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know how anybody stayed in proximity to him, but okay. So, they basically say the same thing starts going down again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kokori-san is not really feeling this. You know, it's the three girls. Let me think.
The trying to get forgiveness, Kokiri's being stubborn again.
And, yeah, so Kudo starts kind of, you know, provoking. Threatening Kokiri-san. And, you know, threatening him to come possess him instead.
Mm-hmm.
And just, okay, he's not respecting the game. He's kind of putting his nose in it, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And shit goes sideways again.
Yes.
Well,
they get chased around.
You know, yeah, they do get chased around. The chairs start coming. The chairs and desks are coming to Kudo.
Mm-hmm.
Because the spirit is kind of focusing in on him.
Yes.
Until the girl, Anna, says enough. Where we learn that she, well, it does possess the two girls again.
Yes.
So the two girls, the original girls, are possessed. They're everybody's running around like Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm. Kudos.
They're afraid more people are going to get picked off.
Mm-hmm.
I think they believe at some point Anna's possessed. I think Anna may have originally been possessed, and then the other girls get hit. But, you know, when they're coming up to Kudo to attack,
Kudo like yells girl.
At them. Yeah, Kudo yells at one of them, and then the two possessed girls retreat. So they're trying mm-hmm. to figure out, okay, why did this happen? And he's like, oh, you know, it's because I'm powerful. And like, no, it's because of your breath.
Yeah.
And from the fanny pack of doom comes garlic pills. Kudo says, okay, everybody eat these and we're going to yell at them to try and get these girls, get the spirit out of the girls, the fox spirit.
So if anyone's saying, how are we going to beat these people? Breathe on them? Yes.
Yes, scream at them, breathe on them, get them pinned down until the fox spirit just gets out of them. And mm-hmm. it does. I mean,
yes,
it worked. So, like, okay, now we have an ability to leverage.
Go ahead, Duck.
Hmm?
No, how about that? Is that an actual thing?
Garlic? Yeah. It's one of those things like where...
Spirits having...
I don't...
Spirits having a distaste of garlic, yeah.
I don't know.
There,
I mean, it works on vampires.
It's one of those things that it's health. There's health benefits to garlic.
A lot
of it, and the superstition rolls with the health benefits because they see its power.
It's also that it's so pungent a smell
yeah.
that if you're dealing with a fox or anything that has an acute sense of smell. Would be put off by it.
Yes, that too.
Okay. So, I guess it has, I guess in this instance, it would have purative effects, is what they're suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
At least it seems to repulse.
Yeah. No, I ask because it seems weirdly specific.
I think it's more because it's the sense of smell.
Foxes then have maybe, a I don't, sense of smell.
I don't, well, again, hey, any of our audience who's a little bit more versed in this than us, please give us a line on this for further insight. We're just speculating wildly here. So if you know, please share it with us. We would love to know a little bit further insight on this. Because as far as it's not a kitsune.
No, it's not.
That's an entirely different rule book. But I think because it is a lesser spirit of a fox, I think the sense of smell comes into play. But I, mm-hmm. again, we're just guessing here. But in Japanese folklore, it's not uncommon for kitsunes and lesser fox spirits to possess somebody.
Right.
So this does kind of go within the folklore.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly Anna is foxess by her demeanor. She's more mischievous. She tends to have good insight on people. So when they get down to playing the game again, you know, and Kudo is breathing on the board. He's threatening to hit Kokiri-san. he provokes the spirit to come jump into him rather than possess Anna.
It jumps into him, but it
gets everybody
trapped.
It doesn't. Yeah, somehow it's trapped within him, and you can hear the fox demon is kind of, the fox spirit is screaming because it's like, oh, you reek.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and Kudo starts hitting his stomach with a baseball bat trying to expel it. And Anna just says, enough. And she just kind of dumps the empty garlic capsules down the ground. She goes, I didn't take these because I didn't want to lose my power. You know, my family's imbued with the fox spirit. So she kind of lets the cat out of the bag to speak, to say, you know, I control this spirit. It's not Kokori-san. It's the spirit that I control.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow it's gotten stronger over the ages. I did this because the girls, I wanted to meet up with them in 3 years and we would still be friends. You know, I didn't get into a great school, so it wasn't Kokori-san that did it for me. It was, I knew my friends here were, they were good students, but they had no confidence. So she wanted to give them this confidence to believe in themselves, to do well on their exams.
Mm-hmm.
For her, she sent the fox spirit out because these girls had basically snubbed her from going to a festival, that they were talking bad behind her back. Because one of her, I guess it was her boyfriend's friend, was in the same class as them. So it got back to her.
Right.
So she was doing this to kind of punish them a little bit.
Yes.
But then she realized, you know, this has probably gone too far. The girls... She goes, I want an apology from you guys. And the girls do apologize. They realize, yeah, we have done our friend wrong here, and that she was really looking out in our best intentions, though she probably went a bit too far because the fox spirit is so strong.
Mm-hmm.
She does the wave and banishes the fox spirit out of Kudo. And then she offers him a foxtail talisman where the fox, you know, tends to rest. The fox spirit rests to Kudo, so... Oh, dear goodness, it's happening again. It's not the hair talisman of doom, but it's another one. So I'm like, no, wait. She's like, it's yours now. She's like, maybe it'll work for you, strange man. You know, prologue is, you know, the misfortunes that were happening to the girls, the curses have stopped. The dog came home. The girl has stopped being forgetful, and the other one stopped sleepwalking.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to go to the music festival with the girl. So it seems like the friendship has been repaired. So happy ending.
Happy ending, yes.
And they feel like this was a good way to see, I would say, a good successful episode for them.
Yes.
Except as we're closing out, Kudo, the locker starts shaking, and Ishikawa and Kudo are surprised. She's like, what is that? Like, oh, I put the foxtail in there. And he pulls it out of the plastic bag, much like he had the hair talisman. And out comes the fox spirit. And he's like, apparently the fox spirit's not keen about his new owner. And Kudo just punches it back down. And you're like, oh, good. Yeah. Well, here we go again.
And he's like, on why to the did next you give one. This
man a talisman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's onwards and upwards, and that is where our episode ends.
Yes.
Oh, and something we forgot about the earlier van ride to the thing was, we have a talk about Ishikawa's brother,
right,
being able to, he's 50-50. He seems to be able to predict the future in some instances. He's really good at predicting. He's 50-50 on deaths, but he is 100% accurate on pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
And Kudo asks if he can interview Ishikawa's brother, and she's like, no, he wouldn't want to talk to you. So I guess that's where our mini scene kind of comes out.
Right.
From before, where it gives you more insight that some things may have carried over.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting now that they're introducing that element. So I'm wondering if it may run now in Ishikawa's family.
Right. So
because it does seem like these things can run in families.
So in this line, Ishikawa is the sensitive.
I don't know if we saw much evidence of that. Like here she seemed to have kind of, she's gone back to her subdued ways where she's kind of more, she's not as headstrong.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly she is going to be the more morally upstanding character.
Right.
To balance Kudo out.
Right.
To try and hold him back or, you know, appeal to him like, please don't hit people.
Mm-hmm.
I think she gets slapped at some point.
Yeah.
This episode.
Yeah, I think.
So Kudo hasn't quite changed all his stripes.
Right.
But
at least know where it's coming from.
It's not out of a place of maliciousness that we can say. It's not really anger. It's really to try and help maybe with, or righteous indignation with the high schooler.
Right.
High school boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess maybe it seems like we have a little bit of Chekhov's gun going on with, you've introduced the element of maybe some psychic sensitivity or oracle nature in Ishikawa's family. So I'm curious to see if that's going to appear in Ishikawa. Because we know Kudo had a background with the holy demon warrior thing. So he doesn't seem to have that anymore, but it just seems to be his fate to get a talisman. So we're pretty sure he's going to use that. I just can't believe he punched the fox spirit back down into the tail to get it to submit.
Right.
It's like, is there some place we can call for spirit abuse?
Yeah, get a medium that collects abused spirits.
I wonder if what's her name is alive. I guess no, she might not be alive in this timeline.
Makabe. Don't know. Or Doji?
Yeah, again, anybody knows or has insight on this, what the director plans to do? Mm-hmm. Kind of give us a little bit of a heads up.
Yes.
We're not sure what has changed in the cases that they've had in the new iteration, or if everything pretty much went the same.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like this was a good breath of fresh air. It's a return to form. So it's a chance to see Kudo recommit himself to his investigation, to see how he acts in the new timeline, to definitely see some character growth with him.
Oh, yeah.
We're not quite seeing character growth yet with Ishikawa or our cameraman, as they're not the primary leads.
Right.
But you can see Kudo has certainly changed a lot in this iteration. It's kind of nice. He doesn't seem to be as much a bastard as he was previously. But he still has some tendencies.
Right. But you at least
But they seem to try to come from a good place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more frustration when people are not helping out. He doesn't seem to be as ruthless. He tends to, you know, he is driven, certainly, but he doesn't seem ruthless as he was previously, or as vengeful.
Right.
That's just my two cents on it.
Now, Doc, you had some problems with this episode.
How do you feel?
Yeah, well,
I think those problems have kind of gone away with time, because it basically, I think my problems were more that we did it back to back after the massive what the fuck that was, I guess, the season one finale.
Okay.
Yeah, so he was pretty drained.
Yeah. I can see
that. Yeah, so coming off the high of that, going back to what seems like a standard episode didn't really register that much.
Right.
I think if we'd taken an hour break or something like that, time to process the movie we saw before or the previous episode, I'm not sure which it was. The end, I'll call it the ending of season one, even if it isn't.
Right.
I think it would have you would have come back into it a little bit more refreshed. I mean, for me, it kind of immediately lifted my spirits back up because I like a return to form.
Right.
Like, because, yeah, every business is going to have a slump at some point.
No, I think it's because this is the way that season had been building. To watch that finale and then immediately watch the next part after that, I thought it was going to go bigger somehow. I didn't think about it being a full-on restart.
Well, I mean, the world ended.
Well, no, I mean it's more that I didn't think it was just going to be go back to a specific episode.
You were expecting could it be in a photo lab or, you know, have his own building.
Yeah, or different careers or something.
Or maybe even, like, somewhere, like, even bigger, like, or, like, somehow they found a way to make it where humans and spirits live in harmony, and that's the documentary, that's their new documentary or something, I don't know.
Okay.
Like, I was expecting more elevation than what we got, but I think that was more based around the fact that we had just watched the massive finale and then going back to, like, the standard.
Right.
So, yeah. It felt like a drop in quality when really it was just more a drop down in emotion and, like, height.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I hate to stress this, especially because what I said the last episode, I'm going to repeat it here. The last finale thing kind of really just splurged all at once, all its energy, and you felt it. So when you go back down to this regular thing, I was like, hey, what?
You're fatigued and disoriented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, I agree with you in that instance. It is, you are fatigued after that last one.
Yeah.
And I think this could have benefited with, like, a week rest. And then going from there. But, I mean, for me, again, it was kind of like a refresher. Yeah, and it is cool to see that it is their destiny to be together, this little group.
Yeah. And again, at the end of the day, aside from the way I watched it, I'm not going to say this was a bad episode. I am interested to see where it goes now, especially with kind of all the demon soldier shit taken out of it. I am wondering where it's going to go.
Yeah. Teeny kitty braise up.
I am definitely interested to see if we have more happy endings with this timeline.
Because I'm not gonna lie, that happy ending.
No, it's because the way most of the episodes of that last season were, it's like, seems like there was a happy ending and then something swerves and then all goes fucked.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, because I think of, like, you know, the school, like, the Hanako-san one where it's like, everybody got out all right, we're all fine, and then splat. Or the Kappa one.
There was a sacrifice.
Yeah, or like the Kappa one where it's like, they go back to see what would happen, and then all of a sudden, farmer and the girlfriend are Kappas and they're pregnant and there's bodies everywhere. It's like, whoa, what the?
What, a giant daughter coming out of the water that would have been lost the Kappas.
Yeah, so like, it was like the hardest kind of swerve. With this one, you got a twist, but it wasn't a twist that ended in death. It wasn't like the hard swerve. It just felt like, oh, that was surprisingly pleasant.
Really refreshing. And satisfying at the same time. Worrisome in some respects, but.
And it's like, even like you expected, like, the girls to, like, be their separate ways and not be friends anymore. No, they're still friends. And it's like,
huh. Well, because, I mean, ultimately they did come back. They did apologize. They realized they did do the one friend wrong. She was really just trying to look out for their best interest, but she did have her feelings hurt.
So, the Fox Spirit sort of reflected that.
Yeah, the growing animosity of her master. So, I mean, that's understandable. I mean, you're getting a little bit more of understanding the dynamics between people, which, I mean, in the Hanukkah one, one girl was willing to sacrifice her friend to get Hanako's wish.
Right.
So, you know, and the other girl just was satisfied with the slap. So, I mean, some friends seem to be willing to accept more readily than others. I mean, it comes down to if you had done your friend wrong and they sicked a spirit against you to kind of cause you some general misery and misfortune, could you be the better, the bigger person and forgive them, to acknowledge your own wrongs?
Right.
Yeah.
And apologize. And still be able to move forward as friends with them. I mean, it seems like she surrendered the fox spirit now to Kudo. Not a great idea, but okay. So she says she doesn't need it anymore. So she's giving up tremendous powers. I think she did that in consideration for her friends. But the question does remain for you two. Could you see yourself in this instance, if you put yourself in the two girls' shoes, could you forgive your friend for doing this to you and realizing that, yeah, you had wronged her? And she was only trying to do what she did originally because she wanted to give you confidence to realize that, yeah, you didn't really need this fortune-telling spirit. You just needed a belief in yourself because she was the one moving the coin.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one who made, you know, did a little psychological trick on them to make them believe that they'd been granted a wish rather than, you know, rather than believing themselves, to give them that little confidence boost. Because Anna says it flat out, you know, the spirit didn't get her into a good high school, so she doesn't owe it anything. And she's right, she doesn't, because she didn't do anything. She moved the coins and put the thought into their head. So what do you guys feel? Could you have apologize and become friends with the girl again?
Personally?
Or the boy, if you look at it like in a boy situation?
Personally? No. Because you weren't straight up with me.
I mean, but if you were talking behind that friend's back.
Well, call me the asshole then. Call me out on it.
I think boy and guy, between male and female dynamics might work differently.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't
but know. I can see your point, Roy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Honestly, I could.
There's
not even that I couldn't see myself in this situation. It's more like I wouldn't know what to say or do. Really.
I like to believe I could forgive my friends for this, because it is a misunderstanding. It seems like you weren't taking into consideration other people's feelings and thoughts. Yeah, did she do it in the most passive aggressive way by sticking a fox spirit on her?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but they kind of already knew her family was kind of imbued with this power. They kind of tell you so.
Right.
But so it's like, it seems like they may have been using her a little bit.
Right.
And she felt used. And then they talked behind her back and she found out about it. I could see her, you know, in the spur of the moments doing this, but not realizing how bad it had gotten. Mm-hmm. And to the point where I give her credit for standing up and saying, okay, this has gone far enough. And kind of answering the question, she says, question one, you know, yes, it was me. No, the spirit was never there. This is the one I sent out to. You know, this is the reason I did it. Yeah, I could say, you know, you have to apologize. You did do wrong. You know, I'd be kind of pissed she did something about, you know, to my dog. But
right.
Dog came back unharmed. So, I mean, it seems all's well that ends well. And they do seem to be friends again, which is really what I think all three ultimately wanted,
mm-hmm.
was to be friends. But they had just, you know, grown apart. And stop valuing that friendship. And she really did seem to have their best intentions at heart, but things just got out of hand because the spirit got a little bit too powerful. And that could have been because of her growing resentment.
Right.
You know, you think your friends are going to be your friends, you know, lifelong. And when you hear them talking bad about you and, you know, yeah, you might be reluctant to go and see them again because your feelings are hurt.
Right.
I don't wouldn't have sucked a fox spirit on them, but I mean,
that's the thing.
I think the fox spirit was just supposed to create a little mischief. It wasn't supposed to create, you know, curse them.
Right, but yeah, they disrespected you. Yeah, they didn't treat you well. But are you gonna change the outcome of the universe just to make them learn a lesson? I mean, even if I was on the tail end, I would think that's pretty scuzzy. You know, tell me I'm an
There's
asshole.
Scuzzy actions all the way around, though.
Right.
They were being scuzzy to her. She was being, in return, she was scuzzy to them. But
she decided to
there
unleash
was a...
more powerful elements that she could possibly not control onto them.
Well, rather than calling them out,
rather
yeah. It's. I think it's... Its female dynamics might be a little bit different. Some girls are more open to calling other girls out. But when you think in Japanese society, sometimes that's not what's expected of girls. And even girls in general, sometimes it's really difficult to confront your friends, the people that are closest to you, when they've done you wrong. Because, unfortunately, girls are socialized to be nice. To keep the peace, to do the right thing. And girls, when they get upset, tend to either go extremely passive aggressive or, you know, it's a volcanic explosion where whatever you're arguing about, it's not really what you're arguing about. It's everything before that that has led to the point.
Right.
So, I mean, I think this was an interesting sort of look at, you know, relationship dynamics too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I think I could have forgiven my friend. Also, I mean, if she ever gets control of that fox spirit again, you know, I'd rather have her on my side than not.
Right.
Because that could be a friend that, you know, if you're loyal and you're a good friend to her, like you should be, because if that's really your friend, I mean, if she's not your friend anymore, tell her she's not your friend anymore. You don't want to be friends, but you know, if that's really your friend, she's always going to have your back. And certainly having an extra little bit of a fox spirit friend or fox spirit power with you is not a bad thing. But no, now Kudo has it. And oh my. Oh dear gosh.
It might prove a valuable weapon in the end. Who knows?
I just hope he doesn't punch anybody with it.
Well, you don't like the scientific method?
I mean, don't hurt the fox spirit. It just seems to do what it does. I can imagine it's not pleased to suddenly switch masters, so I
right.
kind of get a...
Right.
You know, I get the Kudo's desire to assert dominance. But, you know, it seems like a more fortuitous totem or talisman than the cursed hair from Kuche Sakayona.
Right.
So maybe this will bring things in their favor in the future, because a fox spirit does tend to be lucky or more mischievous. So it has less of a negative connotation.
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
I hope they bump into our Japanese John Constantine again. I think maybe he'd be he probably wouldn't be really pleased about the fox spirit talisman coming out, but I don't think he'd have as adverse an effect reaction to it as bringing Kuchi Sakiona's hair braids out.
Yes.
Just my thoughts.
We'll see. We will see.
I mean, kind of curious to see where it's gonna go. It's a new start. It's the Super version
Super.
Of this.
Yes.
So Super. So it's a new chance. This seems like it was a successful one. Nobody died. Ill effect at the end. So okay.
Yes.
Not bad.
Sorry.
So now we have Fox Spirit.
Anything, Doc?
No, not much, really. I mean, I think it's just, again, any problem that I had might have benefited from a break in
right.
between
yeah.
episodes.
Yeah.
Because it feels like watching an explosive finale to one show, and then next show, and then you watch the spinoff, and it's a completely different vibe. So you have no idea how to feel.
Right.
Well, this is like season two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think a rest between weeks would have been a better idea. But, I mean, I'm happy in a way we did get to see it right after, because they're like, oh, okay, it's going to be different. This is kind of cool.
Yes.
It's a new timeline. Yeah, let's see what happens.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I can't really find a problem with it, because it's just fine and pleasant, which is a weird thing to say considering the last couple of episodes. And maybe they didn't have as big of a moment, you could argue, as the last first season, but it's just kind of a nice cooldown.
Yes.
But it had a cool twist. See,
yeah. I am interested to see how it's going to ramp up this time. But...
You said there's only two episodes with the potential third one coming? If it's ongoing?
We are in right now. Three episodes of the new season. The third one is already out, not translated yet. I'm still looking into it. I know there might be a translation from Sumtar. I'm asking around. The Shira Court, the unofficial Shira Ashi fan Discord. Also, thank you at Asian Horror, from which I got the movies from. Go check out at Asian Horror at YouTube.com, on YouTube.com. But no, right now we're in third in. And there is in works a fourth and a fifth one.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Hey, that's kind of good.
Yeah. It's from what I'm hearing, it's more of whenever Koji feels like it, he'll have it all set up. It's just on his word go, they start filming.
Good. I mean, you certainly don't want him to burn out on these.
Right.
It also feels like it's just kind of a passion project at this point.
It is. This is his big old passion project.
I mean, it's a love letter to his past. Mm-hmm. So it's like a nice homage to that kind of world.
Yeah.
Where he came from. And I do like his... I really, really do love him interjecting himself into his work, which, I mean, it just makes it that much more special, the fact that he understands that world. He's been through it. And, you know, in this series, he's decided to make himself more of like a backseat character, as being the our loyal and intrepid cameraman. So it's deeply enjoyable in that sense.
Yes.
That it's charming.
Yes.
That he just put so much of himself and his heart and spirit into this work. So it's quite endearing.
Yes.
So nothing but high praise for him.
All right. Okay, cool. Anything else you guys want to add to this? Got anything to promote?
Would we recommend this to our viewers?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're a fan of Koji Shiri Ishii, this is the next step.
You'll definitely need to watch this after the last two, yes.
But take a break after.
I would say take like a week or so just to kind of let everything settle but I would say this is an essential one to see how what we refer to as the second season or the reboot. Not technically, but kind of,
yeah.
The new timeline goes.
Yes.
I hope to see more character growth in this. It's going to be fun to see how they develop. So I'm kind of excited for this. This was a lot of fun. Doc, would you recommend this episode?
Yeah. If nothing else, it's fun.
You could put this on, you could put the whole series on, including the shorts, at a party, as background.
I mean, it benefits for you from knowing Japanese, because otherwise you're going to have to really, please, Read the subtitles. You're going to be really lost.
Yes.
But, yeah, I would say this is definitely a great one after the last season.
Mm-hmm.
Doc, anything to promote?
Not really for this one.
Anything fun you want to share?
Yes.
Nah, off the top of my head, no.
All right. Anything you want to share?
Spice? No, but I think we should spell out the full word of Starlight.
Oh, yes.
Which is L-I-T-E.
L-I-T-E, yes.
Just in case they can find us.
Yes. We're like the old theater, the drive-in theater, Starlight, that you can catch later on, coming soon.
You can find us.
Watch you this can find us. Spring, summer.
Yes, you can find us out. You can please join us on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
On Twitch.
At Royal B at...
That Royal B 78.
Royal B 78.
Mm-hmm.
Every on Friday nights Friday. When we stream, you can feel free to do a watch along with us.
Yes.
Chat with us, sing along with us. Mm-hmm. I think we completely forgot to sing along with this one, but
no, we were into it.
We were so engaged, yeah. Having fun.
It was like this is a totally different setup.
Did I sing Scooby Doo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Scooby Doo.
Scooby Doo.
At Scooby Doo vibes, yeah.
Yeah. But join us on Fridays,
mm-hmm.
as we have how many more left?
Two more.
Wow.
Two more.
And that's a wrap on the season?
That's the wrap on the season. This is is our first series coverage.
Yeah. Magic.
Yes. This is the first time we cover... a huge series besides VHS.
And even then, we didn't do it all in one go.
We didn't do it all in one go.
I think our brain would have liquefied if we did VHS in one go.
Well, no, we kind of did, but it was only up to...
Three?
Was it only up to... No, it was up to, like, 94, I think.
We did it up to 94.
Yeah.
Well, no, 99, because we... When we did the VHS collection, it was the...
99 was the latest one to come out.
The latest one to come out, yes.
Come out?
Yes.
Okay.
It was in the autumn season. Ladies and gentlemen, a little backseat, a little shop talk.
Yeah.
Your red light seasons are biannual. So mm-hmm. we'll cover one time, like in the winter... early spring, and then we'll cover it later, late autumn, early winter, depending on where we start and stop at. So, yeah, if you're looking for red light podcast action here on the Wolf's Den Productions site at podbean.com, that's the schedule. It's red light, starlight, red light. Red Light, you get weekly installments, whereas Starlight, we get bi-weekly installments. That's in order to ensure no burnout.
Yeah.
Yes. This one, we marathon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one we learned the hard way, not to do weekly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also got some love mail, some hate mail, some...
Fox Spirit Mail.
Fox Spirit Mail. Kuchisachi Mail. Don't send me Ouija boards. Don't send me Ouija boards.
If you want to give us answer any of the questions we asked this episode to give us further insight, mm-hmm. feel free.
StarlightPodcast@protonmail.com. We also have an X, capital R, capital L, capital P, capital S, Starlight, L-I-T-E, like the drive-in side. Give us some recommendations, some commendations. Say hi. We love to hear from you. Also, I do some reviews and list creation over at criticlist.com. It's just me and a bunch of very like-minded film buffs writing what we like and what we know about film.
He's very good.
Yes. I'm usually on the list making side, but I do a review once or twice here and there. Go check us out. Go read us. We'd love to hear from you. And with that being said, thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed it yourself. Have a good evening. Goodbye.
Good night.
Put that 10 yen down, Doc.
I thought you were supposed to spend that. Hey, can we get a fox spirit? I think it might help my memory.
I don't know.
I've had bad experience with foxes.
Or cats. Well, too bad. I got this.
Oh, no.
Yes. I promise to feed it and love it and name it something appropriate.
Just keep it with you.
Yeah. Okay.